Welcome in to the Point to Post podcast. I'm your co-host, Toby Miller, other co-host, Eric Sweet. As you know, I'm the point guard. Mr. Sweet is our postman. We're bringing to you episode 4 today, and we're going to shift gears a little bit, go a little bit more X's and O's centric. So we're going to talk about some common early offensive actions that a lot of programs like to run at the college level and the high school level, and you will see some of these concepts even in the NBA. These are very universal basketball type actions. What do you think about all that, Sweet? You excited to talk some early O?
I am. I'm excited to talk about some early action stuff. I was sitting there watching the Western Conference Finals last night, and some of the things we actually had written down for today, they were doing in the game. And so it's exciting to be able to talk about things that we did at the high school level, like you said, that you see at the NBA level and college level. So very simple things here, but very effective when you have players in the right position and be able to do good things for the court and spread the offense out. So I'm excited to talk some offense. I wasn't a great shooter, but you know me, I'm willing to fire up some shots when we need to. So I'm excited to get going here.
As you know, Sweet loves the three ball.
Love it. More the merrier, man. It's a numbers game. The more points, the better.
So the first one we're going to talk about is it's called a 77. So some people call it a double drag. Others call it 77. 77 is a term they used in the NBA for this, but it's when you set two continuous ball screens with your four and five or a shooter in your five man and the one comes across it. You will be able to see that up on the diagrams as we talk about this. But Sweet, what's the first thing you want to talk about with just a basic 77 and why you kind of like that action?
Like you said, 77 is a name that kind of come from the NBA a little bit. A lot of high school coaches may call it like a 25 or a 52 or a 43 or a 34, kind of to tell you what number of positions they want up there. And I hear a lot of high school coaches will say that in the course of a game, you know, give me a 52, give me a 25. And when they do that, they're talking number position players. I always like to have a shooter up top in this scenario. Last night in the NBA, I watched it with, you know, the the Timberwolves last night, and they did a lot of it. The first one, I like setting the ball screen with the shooter first. He gets the first action, you know, my two or my three man, whoever my better shooter would be. He sets the first screen. My post player would set the second screen. My point guard would drag off of the double high. And then what I want my shooter to do in this scenario, because he was the first one, he's actually going to follow the point guard around the five man. So the five man sets a secondary screen for your shooter. A lot of NBA guys refer to Oklahoma action, but shooter sets the first one, curls back around over top for the five man. So as my one man's driving, he has a corner kick and he has a kick for three behind him as my shooter trails behind him for a curl back. So five-man rolls, but very simple action. A lot of options out of it. You get your downhill drive, you get your corner shot, your top of the three shot, and your five-man rolling. Very simple action. Like I said, a lot of high school coaches call it a 25 instead of a 77.
I think you got into talking about like one of the sets off the 77, which is nice. Just the straight up 77. I think it's important to, and we'll talk about this a little bit later when we go over regular drags, single high drags, but walk through the progression with your players. What is the defense doing? How are we attacking hard hedges off this? What if they hard hedge the guard? What if they switch the guard and hard hedge the big? What if they flat hedge the big? I think a lot of times, like, so if you put in an Oklahoma set out of your 77, what'll happen is your point guard will dribble down. And it's obviously scouted at the high school level, especially, and they're sitting topside, not letting him come off to his right hand. Dude, just reject it and go to the rim for a layup. That's what I teach my kids is anytime we can set a ball screen, the number one read, I'm like, can you reject it in a straight line and get to the rim? That's the best thing for you. But yeah, I like that Oklahoma action suite. I think it's really important, as you talked about, to have your shooter positioned first, and then the five man being the last screener after that. It gives you more freedom and ability to put in creative sets for not only your point guard, but also your shooter.
Going back to your original 77 drag, another reason I like to have the shooter first, even though I don't, you know, I got ahead of it with the Oklahoma idea. If you play a team that likes to switch a lot and they switch guard to guard, you still then have a post player setting the second screen, where if the post player sets the first screen a lot of times, it's easier to switch to the back end of it. And that becomes something where another set comes out of them. We'll get to that in a second. But when a team is switching, per se, I like the guard always setting the first one so that if they do switch, the second one is a guard, is a big on a guard, and it should be advantage the guard. But like you said, they're hard hedge or they double team. I love to try to reject the double and then just get downhill, take advantage of that situation. What if the team is a soft and they try to fight over top, Toby? Are you countering that? Are you really just going to use the double screen hard? Like, what if they try to force you up higher and really body your point guard up high? Are you changing the angle of the screens? Are you, because when I think of double drag, I think more horizontal movement, even or lateral with the baseline, not at an angle coming down. But if a team's bodying your point guard, are you going to change the angle of the screen a little bit?
It obviously depends on your personnel. It depends on if you're running that as just an early offensive action or if you're running it for an Oklahoma type set. If you're running it for the set, I don't think I'd change much. I kind of just let them ride it off a little bit higher because it doesn't matter because you have that rescreen action coming. And if you're calling that, you're obviously calling that for your shooter. You're not running it to get your point guard downhill if you're calling that specific set. I will say if they play off of it, one thing that I like to do is if they flat hedge or go drop coverage, one thing I like to do is we try to teach automatic pitches. So if the big guy is lateral hedging or dropping off the big, and the point guard's getting pressured, we like to throw that immediately up to our post player and then run back off at the other direction because that defender's going to be behind you on your back hip. It also pulls the big guy up then once your post player catches the ball and allows you to get downhill in that direction. Does that kind of answer your question? What about you? How do you counter that?
If I feel that we're really getting pressured at the point guard position and we're getting forced up higher, I will kind of make my screeners turn more to an angle, more of a 45 degree, to kind of get a downhill advantage. What that also may do too is I think it opens up the lane a little bit more, or the driving lane, you'll be able to reject a little easier. Because if you're getting bodied up, it's probably easier to reject it and go away from the screen because they're trying to fight over top of it. So I'm always kind of water, take the path of least resistance. And if you're getting pushed up high, just reject and go back to where you came from. And you can still get action up top between those two guys as long as they still work together somehow to create a screening action or a pin down action or a flare action off of the guard. You still get options out of it. And I kind of do turn the angle of my screeners if we're getting bodied hard, or we'll just go to the single drag that you kind of brought up earlier with your post player, get your shooter out of there, and then you can do your pitch action or zoom action, whatever you want, by hitting your post player. Like you said, it frees up the lane a little bit too.
Yeah, I was just gonna piggyback off what you said. If we're getting extreme ball pressure and getting bodied and ridden off and getting hounded, I'm not running a 77. Like,
No.
I don't want bodies coming up there. I don't want another guard that can aggressively switch on to my like it just muddies the water.
Yes.
I'm going single ball screen. I'm probably setting it flat so he can go either direction depending on pressure, and that's how we would run ball screen offense from there. But that kind of takes us into our next portion of this, which is the drag. So it's basically a screen and transition when your five man is trailing behind the ball and the five man sprints right into a single high ball screen. My team does a lot of drags in AAU. That was the number one concept that we kind of taught and went over. And I think if you're teaching drag screens in AAU, like it's real, or not even AAU, but anywhere, it's a really easy concept to put in. It's a really easy concept to go away from if you don't teach it properly because sometimes you feel like you're not getting anything out of it. And I think it's important for everyone to understand that when you set a ball screen, the advantage is not always going to be for the ball handler. It's going to be for the lift. It's going to be for the roll. It might even be for the one more pass out of the lift because what people fail to realize too is you might not get a catch and shoot on that lift, but what you're doing is you're forcing a closeout to that lift, and you're able to then rip an attack and create offense for somebody else. We do daily drills with my AAU team talking about attacking and simulating single high drag ball screen sweep. What do you think about all that? You've kind of been around my team, been in the practices and stuff.
I absolutely love single high ball screen. And in transition, especially off of a miss, I think it gives you the advantage so quickly. There for a couple of years, I had some really good point guards come through my program, and we would set single high ball screens on a constant basis. And the key, though, to it all is what you said. It's not for the point guard to come off and always get a layup. It's for the point guard to get downhill, create an advantage of a numbers game, and look for, and when Toby talked about the lift, you're talking about the corner guy, the two or the three man coming up to the wing as the point guard drives down the lane. I love the single high ball screen in transition. I think people are trying to match up. Kids are sprinting back. A lot of times you're taught to sprint back into the paint and then find their man. And by that time, I've already set a ball screen and I'm getting an advantage based off of that. So I'm a big single high ball screen guy. I'll even set it on the other side of half court if I have to, especially if a team is pressuring full court, which was happening to us a lot in AAU this spring, that we would set that thing in between the volleyball line and half court on the other side of our of the court, and we would still get the advantage and be able to get downhill. I love the single high ball screen. It's a staple of who I am as a coach now, and we run it a ton here at Oak Harbor.
What's your opinion on rolls versus pops before I get into my little rant about that?
For me, most of my post players, they need to be a roll guy. But I think if a guy can shoot it, you look at popping it. But at the same time, when you screen and you sprint to the key, you are going to naturally draw corner people in, which then opens up the lift. Sometimes I give that too much freedom, and I wish I'd just say, hey, you have to roll every time, and I probably would stick to it. But I do like the ability to read and react. The problem is sometimes they don't always read it. They just react and they always pop, pop, pop. But by rolling, you do suck the corner guys in. I don't make it a hard rule. So I'm intrigued to see what you have to say here about the screener and what they have to do.
I really encourage them to roll. And we don't, I'd like teaching. I know you're an old school big man where you set the screen and then you kind of reverse pivot and hold the guy on your butt. We teach set it and then sprint to the rim. We want you drawing that tag guy. And for those of you at home, the tag guy is the person guarding the man in the corner that's going to be lift. We want you getting the attention of that tag guy as soon as possible. That way, the read is more clear for the point guard. Because if you reverse pivot and seal, sometimes that vision's tougher to see as you're holding a guy on your butt rolling to the rim. Whereas if you just sprint and go, it's much easier for our point guard to see. In terms of popping, I usually tell them that the only time we want to pop is if it's an overloaded side. So if you would be rolling into two people, then it's okay to pop that or short roll that. But if it's a single side, we want to roll that as much as possible to create the advantage with the tag man. Do you understand what I'm saying there? So if he sets it and he's going to roll to the side where the other slot's occupied or the corner or the wing in the corner, he's going to get picked up by somebody and they're going to be able to rotate anyway. So it's fine to pop that one. What are your thoughts on that? Have you ever heard that concept before?
Yeah, I'm gonna first start with your footwork, and that's something that I think that's becoming a new era thing. Like screen it and then not reverse pivot and put somebody on your backside. So screen it and step through is when you talk about sprinting through. It's quicker by far. My only problem with that though, as a post player, is I wanted to be physical. I was a physical post player, so I wanted to set the screen. I wanted to reverse pivot to almost turn it into an illegal screen a little bit, where you're kind of taking the guy with you. Because when you set it and then sprint through it, you never really take the guy with you. But if I set a good solid screen and then that guy tries to go under me, I can drag him down in with me. Now, back when I was playing, they probably didn't switch as much. Usually your post player stay on the post. But nowadays, you're willing to take a post player and let him go guard a guard. So I like the pivot or the sprint through. I wish more post players would be physical and reverse pivot and set somebody on their back the whole time. But I do like the set it, sprint down the lane, and draw more contact. As far as what you said about becoming a pocket passer kind of at the elbow area, depends on the player again. Like that's a hard thing to catch. And the other thing though too is before I go too far into that, it's not just catching it, it's about reading and reacting to it. And I think a lot of players want to catch and try to score it, and they're not a catch and score when they catch at the elbow. They're catching, they got to distribute and look for the lift or look for the backside dive, not catch it and look to shoot it or score it, because they'll travel a lot of times in high school setting. So that's one thing, like just those two small things, details wise. I like to teach both footwork because some kids are more physical. But if you have a quicker guy, I want him to sprint through and get to the lane, though, too. And that definitely depends on my personnel, who's on the court, who's not on the court.
Definitely. spent a lot of time on the drag. You can tell which one me and Sweet like the best. But the
Yeah.
last one we're going to talk about is the double away, the stagger away in transition. So a lot of times you hit ahead to the wing, or you even reverse through a trailing post player, and then they hit the wing, and then the point guard and the trailing big guy will set a stagger screen for a shooter coming up to the point of the floor. Sweet, I'm going to let you go ahead and talk about this first, some things that you like with the stagger away. It's made kind of famous by Michigan State. They called it their secondary break action. Marietta College runs a lot of secondary break action with these staggers away, but what are your thoughts on it?
Well, I'll first start with, early in my career when I was coaching, I always thought it was just an old school, almost too simple of a transition. I felt like the Carolina back screen and things like that were kind of coming up, I felt like, and I wanted to be more new school, and just to throw the ball ahead and double away just seemed so old school to me and too simple. But now that I've gotten older, like, simplicity is key. And yes, teams can switch it a lot of times, but it's action, and it creates people and kids to talk and move. And if you don't do it, they stand in the gaps, and it's easy to do. So here, what we like to do, we like to throw it ahead to the wing. Our post player, our five-man, will go set a wing ball screen, become a two-man game on the one side as we double away for a shooter out of the backside corner. Like I said, yes, you know it's coming, but I tell you what, though, like, the kids still have to talk, and if you teach them how to read the defense and react to it, all of a sudden, the simplicity of the set makes good quality movement. So I like the double way, especially off of a make. You can get the ball ahead quickly. It gets you an early ball screen where, I guess you said, we like the drag a lot, but the drag is great on misses. When off of a make, this is another kind of quick ball screen action that I like to get into. And double way is just very, very simple. And when you have players that read and react, there's a lot of options you can come off the double away with. And so we do run it quite a bit here at Oak Harbor. I really enjoy doing it.
It's just like anything that we've talked about in this episode. It's all about how you teach it. So Marietta College does a great job of teaching their players to vary what they do off the stagger on the backside. And, they like to play, I wouldn't say two traditional post players, but they're going to play two bigger guys. So when they throw the ball to that wing, they have somebody who's a threat on the low block posting up. And then that stagger away, they do a really nice job of varying it in terms of sometimes that guard that's getting the double away will reject it. He won't even use it. And the first guard in the stagger will return off of the post player. Or that guard will curl the first one nice and tight. And then the guard that set the first screen, again, returns off the post player. I mean, there's so many different things that you can teach your players to do. You can slip the first stagger screen, slip the second stagger screen. And a lot of times when we were preparing to play Marietta, I would sit down and chart what are they doing on their secondary break. Like, is there a pattern? Is there one combination that they seem to go to more than the other? Is it personnel based when they have a shooter down there? Is he coming straight off of it more? And to be honest, in the 2 years that I really sat down and watched and scouted them heavily, I think only one time we played them, we noticed a trend. Like, they did a very nice job of varying that.
And that's the key, is that you teach it the right way and you teach your kids to read and react to it. And it doesn't just become the same thing over and over. It's not just a double way for a shooter out of the corner who comes to the top of the key. It's not that. You have to make it different, and you have to give your kids freedom, but you also got to give them the knowledge to do it. So you talked about it, and Marietta does do it. They post their five man up on the block, and they treat that as a two man game, high low, pass in, pass out type option, where I set the ball screen on the wing. Do you have a preference, Toby, of which one you like better? Do you like a post presence, or do you want to drag it out and open the lane up for curls and back doors? Because when I'm doubling away, if I get a good curl or a good back door option, if I have a post player setting up there, posting up, it's going to be much harder to make the pass to that guy. But if I bring that post out to set the ball screen, those back doors and those curls are more open. So do you have a preference one way or the other? Which one do you do?
I think that it's really hard for a kid at the high school level receiving a ball screen to then make the correct read off a stagger screen. We run like simple zoom type action in our for my AU team, and we do a really good job of reading it, but you would be surprised how many times, even though we've done it for 3 months, we still just miss a wide open slip like right in front of us. And I think that's even harder when you then put a ball screen into it. So typically what I like to do is if you're trying to get something off the stagger, I like the guy posting up because he's occupying his man. His man's worried about him being posted. If I don't want to get anything off the stagger and I'm using it that stagger as distracting action or false motion, then I will go ahead and come out and set the ball screen. The other thing is I don't think that a stagger on the backside is super great action to occupy if you're looking for a post up. I think it's very easy for that first guard to give a huge gap and still be in help position on your post player too. What are your thoughts on staggers to post up?
It's a double-edged sword because as a coach, I'm saying to the bottom guy, stay home and double. And then the top guy just takes the top guy. It's almost too easy to double down off of it in my sense. And that's why I drag out the ball screen. Now, you're right. It is hard to, for our guards to come off of a ball screen and see the slips into that sort. But I also feel, though, if you just set a post player up and post up, unless he's a dominant post player, which I haven't had in a few years, but if I have one, I'll set it up. But I would then change the action on the backside. I don't think I'd do a double way to let the post player have it. There's got to be some sort of other action, either flares or something else where you're getting more movement because it's just too easy to stay on the backside there and watch the post up. Now, if your post player is willing to step up a little higher, and I do it like the, I call it the NBA post up, which is about, 10 feet or 8 feet out. All of a sudden now the double A becomes much more dangerous because I think a post player is able to see and pass off of that action a little easier. Where if I'm on the block like I was as a traditional post, I was looking to seal and score, not catch and look to distribute. So I also think it depends on your post player. If you're looking for your post to distribute the basketball out of it, I think the double A is great. I think if you're looking for them to go one on one, it makes it a little bit harder because I think it's easier for one guy to always stay down in and double the post player and give him extra help when needed.
Yeah, I agree entirely with that. And that 10-foot post up that you're talking about, a lot of people in the NBA call that the pinch post. I know they talked a lot about in LeBron's years, getting the ball to him in that area, getting the ball to Kevin Love in that area. That's nice for post players that aren't quite as comfortable with their back to the basket because they can reverse pivot and square up. And then you're not putting the ball on the floor all the way from the perimeter to get to the basket. It's one dribble and you're into your move and you're in the scoring area.
Yeah.
But sweet, you want to get us out of here? We've just hammered out these early actions. We've really enjoyed talking about it, and we'll be back with more content for you next week.
Yeah, thoroughly enjoyed talking about the 77 series and the single high ball screen. Love both of those things. Quick action double way is simple and clean, but and the point to post podcast, like we said, every point guard needs to go post up a little bit. And every post player wants to be a point guard. And so it's great to get the post out and the point in. But at the end of the day, we're all learning about basketball, loving this game, and moving on forward and getting more and more knowledge built in. So thanks for listening to episode 4 of the Point to Post podcast. I'm your co-host, Eric Sweet, postman, with my point guard, Toby Miller.
Bing bong.